And let's turn in our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah 65. In the first seven verses, we saw that our Lord dealt with this subject of reprobation. And then he began speaking to his people. And then he returns now in our text to the subject of reprobation once again. Now, our Lord wouldn't return to this subject if it wasn't needful and if it wasn't important. So we're going to look here at what the Lord has to say. This is an important message for young and old. Young people grow up and they get to the point where they can move out and get on their own, move to different cities. And these are good things to hear because we see the importance of meeting with God's people under the sound of the gospel. It's of utmost importance. And it's good for anybody to hear this. It's good for every believer to be reminded of these things. Let's look and read verses 11 and 12 together. But ye are they that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish the drink offering under that number. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, ye did not answer. When I spake, ye did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Our subject is the cause of reprobation. And again, I want us to see that reprobation is caused by the sinner. It's caused by the sinner. We worship a holy and just God, and He does nothing that's not just. And reprobation is God's work of hardening sinners, hardening their hearts, due to the sinner's willful rejection of the Lord God. In our text, He makes five charges. Five charges. These are five imputations. These are five reckonings. And he declares this is why he's turning them over to reprobation. Almost everybody in Israel. Now, reprobation, I want you to get this point. Reprobation is just. It's just because men are guilty sinners who have rejected Christ for their own works and their own will. It's a just reprobation by God because it's the sinner's own fault. Now, first of all, God's first charge, verse 11. He says, ye are they that forsake the Lord. Ye are they that forsake the Lord. Now, God gave Israel advantage over every other nation in this world. That one nation, He gave advantage over every other Gentile nation in the world. He gave them the law of commandments. Look over at Romans 3. Hold your place here and go to Romans 3. He gave them the law of commandments by which we see our sin. It declares us guilty in our sin. Romans 3:19 says, now we know what things soever the law saith. It saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's what the Ten Commandments teach you, the knowledge of your sin. Paul said, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. But we're never to try to earn a righteousness by the law. We'll never try to become sanctified by the law. The law is to give us a knowledge of our sin. He gave them the Ten Commandments. Then He gave them the ceremonial law. Turn over to Hebrews 10. By that law, we see a shadow. And in that shadow, we see that there's no approaching God except through faith in Christ, our High Priest, our Lamb, our mercy seat. Hebrews 10:1 says, the law, having a shadow, being a type, being a picture of good things to come. Not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. It could make those folks perfect, those blood of bulls and goats. But look down at verse 7. Then said I, Christ speaking, lo, I come. Now look at the parentheses in the volume of the book. And all that Old Testament law is spoken, it's written of me. It's written of me. I come to do thy will, O God. He came to do the will of God, and he did it. And he did it. He did it for a chosen people, God's true people. And then God sent them the prophets. Go over to Romans 3 with me now. He sent them the prophets. And the prophets' message was a twofold message. The prophets' message is the same thing that we preach today. It was all flesh is grass, and thy God reigneth. All flesh is grass, and thy God reigneth. Now, Paul asks a question here in Romans 3:1. What advantage then hath the Jew? Seeing God gave him all this, what advantage does he have? What profit is there of circumcision? Much every way. Much every way. Chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Now, brethren, the same is true of everybody sitting here today. God has established a church in our midst where the gospel is preached. And we'd be wise to remain under the sound of that gospel. This is so very important. It's just so very important. Never turn your back on the Lord. Never forsake the Lord. Whatever you do, He's given us great advantage. It'd be worse for somebody here to turn their back and leave the gospel than it would be for somebody that never heard it. Because we've had it. We've got great advantage. All right? Second charge now in our text. He says, ye are they that forget my holy mountain. Isaiah 65:11. Ye are they that forget my holy mountain. All right? Let's go to Hebrews 12. Under the old covenant, God's holy mountain was Mount Zion. It's where Jerusalem was. It's where God's temple stood. It's where God commanded His high priest to come yearly and atone, make atonement for Israel through the blood of a lamb at the mercy seat. Well, that earthly mountain was nothing but a type. It was a shadow. It was a shadow. That earthly mountain represented God's true mountain. It represented God's true holy mountain. Mount Zion, heavenly Mount Zion, heavenly Jerusalem, where God dwells. It represents the true universal church of God, made up of all God's elect throughout all time. Look here with me, Hebrews 12:18. Ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burn with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. That's speaking of Mount Sinai on earth. You could touch that mountain. And that mountain, and all the old covenant, it was given there at that mountain. And all the old covenant that was given had earthly priests and earthly lambs and earthly sacrifices and an earthly mountain and an earthly tabernacle, and everything was earthly. But, look at verse 22. But you're come unto Mount Zion. This mountain can't be touched. Unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, the general congregation, the universal church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. That's where our names are written. That's where the membership is written. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. See, this is a new covenant. Everything's new about this covenant. And you've come to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. This is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth. Our Lord in our text He's speaking here, and he's saying, I spoke to you on earth. I've spoken to you through some earthly types and shadows. And they refused him, but they didn't prevail. They didn't prevail. God eventually destroyed Jerusalem, that earthly Jerusalem. And he says here now, if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. That's where this mount is in heaven. This is where he's speaking from now. So hear God's word. He says, go back to Hebrews 10. I want you to see something there. This is what God said. When the gospel is preached, it's Christ speaking from heaven. He says, refuse not him that speaketh. And when the gospel's being preached by one of God's sent messengers, true messengers, Christ is preaching. He's speaking. He said, where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. That's where he's gathered his people. He promised to be there in the midst of them. It's him that's speaking. So if we have opportunity to come hear the gospel, and we don't come hear the gospel, we're basically saying, I don't care about hearing Christ speak. I don't care about hearing him speak. Now, I understand there's time we cannot come because of physical infirmities or what have you, but if we could come, and we don't, we're saying, I don't care about hearing Christ speak. Men who forsake Christ always forsake the assembly. They always do. And listen, if you break God's law, if you break God's holy law, there's still a remedy for that, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you forsake this gospel, assembling together with God's saints under the sound of the gospel, there's no more. You forsake Christ, there's nothing else. Look here, Hebrews 10, verse 26. If we sin willfully, this is just what he's talking about here. If we turn and walk away from it after we've received the knowledge of the truth, if we willfully forsake assembling to hear the gospel of Christ, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignations which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know God has said, the vengeance belongs to me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. You see that word? I will recompense. I will repay whatever wages a man has earned, turning his back on me, willfully rejecting me. I will repay that man. That's what we're seeing in our text. He said, I'm going to pay you because you rejected me. You rejected me. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And this is what I say. You ever have to move? First things first, find you a place you can hear the gospel preached in truth. I can tell you some places all over this nation where you can go hear the gospel preached. But that's first things first. Because that's the most important thing of all, is to be where you can hear the gospel preached. Christ is not going to lose one of his sheep now. Now, don't misunderstand the text there. We're not talking about those that he's regenerated and given life and given faith. He's not going to lose one of his sheep. But here's what he said. John said, they went out from us, but they were not of us. If somebody can leave the gospel of Christ, they never were born of God's grace. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. That's what God's people are going to do. But they went out that they might be made manifest they were not all of us. All right, here's the third charge. Back in our text, verse 11. Ye are they that prepare a table for that troop and that furnish the drink offering under that number. Now this is the charge of idolatry. The charge of idolatry. You're furnishing drink offerings unto false gods and what have you. Now, Israel forsook God. Israel forsook God. But Israel didn't stop being religious. They didn't stop being religious. They just forsook the true and living God. In fact, they were very zealous in religion. Paul acknowledged that in Romans 10. And he said, but it's in ignorance. He said, they've been ignorant of the righteousness of God, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. The They're going about to establish their own righteousness by their works, by their offerings, by their deeds. Christ is the end of the law. He's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. But they didn't stop being religious. Look at Isaiah 1. In fact, many of them forsook God's holy mountain. Now hang on to your britches. They forsook God's holy mountain while they were in God's holy mountain. They went to His temple and offered the sacrifices He said to offer. And yet they had forsaken God and forsaken His holy mountain. Why? Because the worship of God's a heart thing. And they drew near to Him with the mouth, but their heart was far from God. They were worshiping the form and the ceremony, but they weren't worshiping Christ. Just because we're religious don't mean we are born of God and worship Christ. Just because we come to where God's gospel is preached doesn't mean we're born of God and worshiping Christ. Look here in Isaiah 1, verse 10. Look at this, what He calls them. He's speaking to Israel. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. He's saying, don't you hear the law declare you guilty? You can't come to me in that law. To what purpose is a multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord. See, they're offering them to Him. I'm full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. Didn't He tell them to offer that? Yes, He did. Yes, He did. But He told them to offer this, coming to Him through that lamb, believing and trusting on Christ to come. On Christ to come. And that's how all God's true saints of old worshiped Him. Though they were using a lamb, they were worshiping Him looking to Christ. These folks were coming to God looking to that physical lamb, that animal, and thinking that animal was going to save them. Listen to this. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? He's speaking to them like they're strangers, aren't they? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It's iniquity, even the solemn meeting. He goes on down to say there, when you pray to me, I'll hide my eyes from you, my ears from you. I won't hear you because your hands are full of blood. They were doing this in God's temple. In God's temple. So, a person, you see, idolatry's in the mind. Idolatry's in the heart. That's why God's got to give us a new heart and purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God, because true worship's in the heart. Listen to this. The hour cometh, Christ said, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. It doesn't mean He's just going out looking for people that'll worship Him in that manner. It means that's how He makes His people to worship Him, by His grace. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Paul told the Philippians, he said, we're the circumcision, which worship God in spirit. And rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. That's a true Jew. That's a true Jew. He's not a Jew which is one outwardly. He's a Jew which is one inwardly. That's a true Jew. All right, here's God's fourth charge. Verse 12. He says, skip over there to the last part of verse 12. He says, when I called, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear. When I called, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear. Now, every time the gospel's preached, as I said to you before, it's Christ speaking. And every time the gospel's preached, there is a general call going out. And what I mean by that is there's an effectual call, which He calls you by grace in the heart. And then there's a general call that goes out where everybody hears what I'm preaching. Well, every time that general call goes out, it's still God speaking. It's still Christ speaking. And He says here, when I called, you didn't answer. He says, when I spake, you didn't hear. Now think about that. How many times have you heard God call? How many times have you heard God speak? And how many times have you turned from it and gone home and not picked up His word to read what you heard? Or not answered Him by taking home the bulletin and studying the bulletin to see, look into God's word and see these things, or read the sermon notes or whatever. Everything is made available, you know. That's what He's talking about here. You see, you have to be saved by God's sovereign grace. That's the only way we're going to be saved. It's all of free grace. But this is what Christ said too. He said this, and this is my language, but He says, walk in the light God will give you, and He'll give you more light. And here's how He said it. He that hath, to him shall be given. Him that hath, to him shall be given. See, they had all these privileges, but they wouldn't. God gave them just, I'm not saying He gave them spiritual light in their heart, but He gave them some light when He gave them His oracles. But they wouldn't even walk in that light. See what I'm saying? And the Lord said, to him that hath, to him shall be given. The man that walks in the light God's given him, God will give him more light. And he'll find out it's all by God's grace that he ever even walked in the light to begin with. But the Lord said also, he that hath not, he that doesn't walk in the light God's given him, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. See, that's a serious thing. If we won't walk in the light God's given us, God will take that light away. Take that light away. All right, here's the fifth charge. Verse 12. And again, I want you to look over towards the end there. He said, right there at the end, you did evil before mine eyes, and ye did choose that wherein I delighted not. That word choose, that's your will. That's your will. That's my will. And that word did, that's our works. That's our works. He says, you did evil, and you did choose that wherein I delighted not. Now, we're never going to be saved by our will and by our works. Never. Never. We'll never be saved by our will and our works. Our will's polluted. Our nature's corrupted. And it'll only choose corrupt things. It'll only choose that wherein God delights not. And our works, therefore, will all be polluted with blood. Vile, stinking, sinful blood. But we'll never be saved by our will and our work. But if God leaves us to ourselves, we'll be damned by our will and our works. Sure will. Look here. You did choose that wherein I delighted not. See that? That's the will. You did that wherein I delighted not. That's works. What do men choose rather than God? What do men delight in rather than God? Tradition. Man's thoughts. I know lots of people who go to a church building because that's where their grandmother went. That's where mom and daddy went. No other reason. That's the only reason. This is just where this is how we've always done it. It's where we've always gone. Self-righteous works rather than the righteousness of Christ given through faith. Can't earn a righteousness. Christ is the only righteousness of His people. Men will choose a form of religion rather than Christ, who's the power of true religion. Many in our day, Paul said it, the last day there's going to come a time when many will have a form of godliness, but they deny Christ, who is the power of true godliness. Deny Christ. Deny that God chose a people and gave them to Christ. They deny Christ came and redeemed a particular people all by Himself. They deny that Christ is reigning and ruling on His throne right now, working His sovereign will in the midst of His people. They deny Christ, that He's the one preaching in His gospel as it goes forth. Deny that He's the one that prays the Father who sends the Spirit and gives you life. They deny Christ. But they'll hang on to that form. hang on to that form of religion, go through a ceremony, go like those that were going to God's temple, but they had forsaken God long ago. Men will hold on to a course of sin rather than to the good works that God ordains His people to walk in. God's going to make His people walk in the works He's ordained. He's going to make His people believe and repent and persevere and love one another and serve one another. These are things He ordained from before the foundation of the world. He's going to bring them to pass. But men choose sin rather than Christ. This is a condemnation, the Lord said. Light's come in the world. Men love darkness more than light. Won't come to the light lest their deeds should be reproved. Our Lord said, He came unto His own, John said, and His own received Him not. Why not? They chose that which He didn't delight in. They chose something else. Christ came. They said, no, we don't want Him. We don't want Him. Listen to this word. Christ said this. This is just an amazing statement. Because I tell you the truth, you believe not on me. And what's the opposite of that statement? If I told you a lie, you'd believe it. But because I tell you the truth, and the truth's offensive to the flesh, you won't believe it. Isn't that something? That's natural man, isn't it? It's natural man. And so John said, therefore they could not believe because. Here's why. As Isaiah said, He blinded their eyes and He hardened their heart. And that's what we see lastly here in our text, verse 12. The beginning of verse 12. Therefore. After everything He just showed us, He said, now therefore. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear, and so on. Throughout Scripture, God's condemnation of the reprobate is always attached to a therefore. It's always attached to a because. Because you did this, God says, now I'm going to number you to the sword. Now let me reiterate, salvation is all of grace. God has to enter in, give us a new heart, give us a new nature, give us His Spirit, give us faith to believe Him, repentance to turn from those vain works, and to trust Him. And He keeps us by His power. Salvation is righteousness is by Christ, regeneration by the Holy Spirit, election by the Father, all of God. But if we left to ourselves, and we're turned over to a hard heart, it'll be our fault. And God's just to do that because, therefore, because you did this, therefore, God said, I'm going to turn you over. Listen to this now. Solemn word here. Listen to this now. I want everybody. You getting older and you're thinking about going off to college or you think about going off to a job somewhere or whatever. I want you to listen to this now. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, stiffen up his neck. I'm not going to hear that. I'm not going to hear it. God says he shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Now let me read it again. He that being often reproved, that's what's happening when the gospel's being preached. Our flesh is being reproved. He that being often reproved hardens his neck. I won't hear that. God says he shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. That without remedy. In 2 Chronicles 36, our Lord tells us, I'm just going to end with this, but he tells us there that Zedekiah and the chief priests and the people there hardened their hearts. Listen to what he says. They mocked the messengers of God. God sent them His preachers. They mocked them. They despised His words. God sent them His word. They despised it. And they misused His prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against His people till there was no remedy. Till there was no remedy. That's what we're reading about in our text right here. God said, because you turn your back on me, I'm going to turn my back on you. That's right. You numbered, you poured out a drink offering to that number of those idols, I'm going to number you. He said, I'm going to number you to the sword. See, reprobation's just. It's just. God does everything just. He's holy. He's holy. So what I'm saying to you is don't ever, ever leave the gospel. Don't ever leave where God's assembled his people, where you can hear the gospel preached. Don't ever leave it. If you go somewhere, go find, seek out a true gospel church where you can hear the gospel preached. God saves us and continues to save us through this gospel. We got to hear Christ preached. All right, brethren, let's stand together. Our Father, we thank you for the word. Lord, make this solemn warning come in our hearts. Make it come with grace. Make it come with love. Make us truly hear it and heed it, Lord. Thank you for this word. Thank you for this reproof and this instruction. Set up this example before us to show us the danger of turning from you. Lord, forgive us where we have taken lightly the things of God. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.